Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Carol Masser. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Better things in the future, better things in healthcare for the future. Let's talk about the details when it comes to advances in getting drugs to patients more quickly. Dr. Fred Ledley is the director of the Bentley Center for Integration of Science and Industry. He's also a professor of natural and applied sciences at Bentley University. He's based in Waltham, Mass., and he is in Washington, D.C. today. Bentley University, of course, a strategic partner of Bloomberg Radio. Also with me here in the studio is Sam Fazeli. He is a director of research and senior pharmaceutical analyst for Bloomberg Industries. Gentlemen, great to have you here. Let's start off with just a little piece of news. A hearing by the House Committee on Energy and Commerce. This is the Subcommittee on Health, holding a hearing today entitled 21st Century Cures, Examining the Role of Incentives in Advancing Treatments and Cures for Patients. Dr. Ledley, let's begin with you. What is the purpose of this hearing, and what should we expect to get out of it?
So, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today. And this is a very important initiative. About a year or so, the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology put out a white paper that was called Propelling Innovation in Drug Discovery, Development, and Evaluation. And it included a number of recommendations, and the House Energy and Commerce Committee has been taking these up over the past couple of weeks with testimony, with some very important ideas about where how legislation could be crafted to sort of follow the recommendations that had been outlined. And today was about getting...
Well, you testified this morning, correct?
I did testify this morning.
What did you tell the committee?
Well, the issue today was very much related to a piece of legislation called the Modern Evaluation and Regulatory Network, or the Modern Cures Act, which is one approach to promoting pharmaceutical innovation by granting greater market exclusivities so that companies would have more certainty that their products would have profits. There would be greater economic incentive to develop these products, and there's precedent for this. There are patents, there are special opportunities for companies to develop orphan drugs and pediatric drugs and antibiotics and have additional guaranteed exclusivity. But the issue is fairly contentious, as many are, because if we knew how to propel innovation even faster, there would be more drugs on the market. So there are a lot of ideas, and this is one of them as to how to further incentivize research.
Sam Fazeli, I want you to come in on this topic and maybe speak about the current process and what are some of the changes that the various constituents would like to see.
Well, first of all, thanks very much for having me on the show. And Dr. Ledley, what I'm going to do is try and just give a little bit of background with regards to the question that Pim just asked. You know, we're dealing with a world where total research amount of money spent on R&D in 2001, according to our analysis, was $62.5 billion. 2013, $138 billion. This is global numbers.
Why the big drop?
A big increase, rather.
Yeah.
Well, that's just what it is. You know, you've got two large pharma companies that are just about approaching $10 billion R&D budget per annum. They happen to be Swiss pharma, right? And all this has happened at the same time where the number of drugs that were approved by the FDA in 2001 was 63 drugs. 2013, 53 drugs. So you just do the math there. Even if it's not really the cost of developing a drug, but you divide the numbers up, it's still telling you I'm spending more than twice getting, let's say, the same number of drugs to market. So something's not working there, right? And I know that, Dr. Ledley, you've looked at this, these sort of numbers, and everybody knows
what's
that
causing this discrepancy.
trials are getting longer and requirements are getting tougher. I'm assuming that's fair to say. I wonder what Dr. Little has.
Well, I think it's more complicated than that. I think some of the low-hanging fruit of technologies was harvested years ago. Our data suggests that the biggest part of the problem is the drugs we've been living off of are really based on very old science. So if you look at the last 100 drugs approved by the FDA since 2000, my colleague Laura McNamee found that the science, the discoveries that made that all possible, is 30 to 40 years old. And that's the pipeline, if there is one that's drying up. It's that, and the pharmaceutical industry has been very slow to adopt modern science, and it is frequently disruptive. Personalized medicine is very different than looking for billion-dollar blockbuster drugs, and very advanced devices that are coming, being made possible by microelectronics and microfluidics are very different than anything I've seen before. And these are very challenging to the industry. They're not only difficult technologies, they're difficult business models. There's one on the table now for gene therapy. How would you imagine pricing a drug that might be a once-in-a-lifetime shot? And companies need to be able to make profits. They need to be able to price these in such a way that you have the incentives. And more importantly, they need to be incentivized to take this risk and apply modern science. And that was really the gist of my comments this morning, which is we are worried about the sustainability of the pharmaceutical industry model and need to protect it and incentivize it. But more importantly, we need to push the industry to do what science promises. I made an off-the-cuff comment this morning that, you know, we don't use computers that are 15 years old. They're out of date. But so many of the drugs that we're starting to develop really are based on science that's very old.
Dr. Ledley, do you really think that adding 3 years exclusivity, say from 12 to 15 years, is enough of an incentive to make a difference here? Because the changes, the numbers that have, in terms of R&D expense, et cetera, the length of trials, especially for the type of diseases that they mention, neurological diseases, Alzheimer's, where the trials are, by definition, are going to be very long. Is that enough?
Yeah, I don't think it helps. I think that, you know, when you talk about diseases like Alzheimer's, I don't fully understand the incentive argument. These markets are so large, and they are very challenging to get there. But the payback of getting it right is really enormous. And you know, the other half of the equation, in addition to cures, is costs. And the other effect of 15 years is it does inhibit the emergence of biosimilars and generics, which are providing the same quality of care, and there are new technologies and some very exciting companies in those areas. And we need both. We both need the new cures for Alzheimer's, but we also need to get the cost down for things when companies have had their opportunity to make their profit, so that there are resources for the new cures.
Can I bring you into another area here? Let's assume we all have heard a lot about the breakthrough therapy designation from the FDA that's really helped speed up some cancer drugs specifically. Imagine that being widened out a bit. Do you think it's possible, and cancer is a very special case, but do you think it's possible in other disease areas where companies can be given some kind of protection if the trial is too short, where they don't highlight every safety issue, that they can be given some kind of protection aftermarket?
Tremendous opportunity on that end. I mean, I think that, and one of the major recommendations of the PCAST report was to give the FDA the freedom that they've asked for to come up with some of these innovative paths. And it is a... particularly in cancer, where patients know that there are risks and you can get their consent to those risks, it's great. But I think the same will be true in many diseases. And that's the area that sharing risk with the public is right, and being sure that there are opportunities to get these out.
I want to thank you, gentlemen, very much. Dr. Fred Ledley, he is director of Bentley Center for Integration of Science and Industry and Professor of Natural and Applied Sciences, Bentley University, a strategic partner of Bloomberg Radio. Sam Fazeli, pharmaceutical analyst for Bloomberg.
Taking Stock, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on SiriusXM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014. Bloomberg LP.